This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health, bringing you 21st century approaches to turning around those behaviors that are creating problems for yourself and others. We particularly focus on letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to, and that means we enter the doorway to personal change through sensory experience and more, focusing on the whole self. In this episode, we're going to take a little time to explore the effects of alcohol, especially on women. I'm recording this podcast a week after the death of singer Whitney Houston, who is widely reported to have troubles with alcohol and other drugs. This reminds us of the toxic impact that substances like these can have on human life. But before we start, let's take a moment to tune in to our sensory experience. This can be particularly helpful when a topic brings up a lot of associations, many of them difficult or painful. It's important to know that you don't have to do anything differently right now, and there's nothing that you need to fix or correct. In this highly pressured world, we have been trained, in a way, to perform to meet the expectations of others, or, even to meet the expectations we believe others have of us, whether it's true or not. It's a good thing to take time for yourself then, for, just a few minutes. Step back from the shoulds or the have-tos, just to be with yourself. And it helps to focus on something practical, rather than some idea that we have. So you can start by just letting your attention go to something physical in you, something that makes itself apparent. I'll give some examples. It could be as small as the feeling of the breeze across your arm, or it could be as big as a pain in your hip. You might feel tightening in your jaw, or a feeling of fullness in your belly. Now, if you find yourself looking at your body, trying to see where you feel something, or if you're trying to do it right, maybe, or maybe you're puzzled because none of these examples that I've given stand out to you, then just for the moment, just let your attention go to your forehead or around your eyes, or maybe you can just notice the movement of your breath. The specific sensory experience you're noticing in the moment doesn't matter, because the point is, you don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to perform. You can just notice. And you can do this no matter what else you're doing right now. Whether you're sitting at your desk at work, listening while you're on a walk, or lying down on your couch, whether you're driving, or even standing in a grocery store line. Attending to your physical experience, well, it may come naturally to you, but many people only put attention on this when they're in pain, or maybe when they're exercising and feel some strain somewhere. Attending to yourself on a physical level in a deeper way, that's a skill, and it develops over time through practice. It's not passive, because even waiting for something physical to present itself involves the action of attending. Consider that. In Habits into Health, we don't just talk about self-knowing. So, from time to time, I'll invite you to notice something in the moment. The first step to creating change is developing deep self-knowing, because it's a whole lot easier to change what you know. So, as we talk about today's topic, which is alcohol's effect on the brain, especially in women, just be aware of how you experience yourself as you listen. Almost everyone today has had some experience with alcohol, because whether we drink or not, most of us have been in situations where alcohol is a part of the scene. For me personally, I can remember being one of two people at a wedding reception who wasn't drinking. And I can also remember times when I was one of the many people drinking too much at the reception. I've experienced what it's like to say no thanks and to be pressured by someone who just doesn't get it, just won't listen. And in the past, I've been one of those people who said, oh, come on, what's the big deal? In fact, for years, most of my greatest stories were about times that I had been drinking too much. And I'm really, really grateful that life taught me some early and serious lessons, so that by the time fate led me into the addiction treatment profession, when I was about 33, I had learned that alcohol was just not my friend. In some circles, an appropriate statement might be, may you be blessed with a high bottom, because so many people experience the various ways that misuse of alcohol destroys not just the drinker's life, but the quality of life of others. By all accounts, Whitney Houston was one of those people for whom death was the lowest bottom. Although I'm recording this before the coroner's toxicology reports have been released, and many accounts by friends and Houston herself over the last years of her life involved her use of street drugs, reports strongly suggest that alcohol was not her friend. The possibility that the combination of alcohol and prescription drugs precipitated her death is a cautionary note for everyone, whether you have a drinking problem or not. If you're a woman, this is especially important. Now, I'm going to mention some facts. But you know, one thing I've learned from experience is that facts just aren't as compelling as feelings. So I invite you to notice your internal response as I share these facts right now. In January, a journal on alcoholism research reported that alcohol abuse is much more harmful to women than to men. And it's not just about those charts showing that people who are smaller get legally drunk on less alcohol, and women tending to be smaller in size than men, by and large. It actually turns out that only 4 years of excessive drinking in women will cause imbalances in the hormones serotonin and dopamine. And these imbalances are linked to depression and anxiety. On the other hand, it takes 12 years on average for the same problems to show up in men. The study's principal investigator from the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, Claudia Falke, PhD, told Medscape Medical News that even short-term excessive alcohol consumption is more harmful to women. She said, quote, "We have to be aware that women are more vulnerable to excessive drinking, not just bodily harm, but also to the brain." If you're a woman who drinks perhaps a bit too much, or if you love a woman who's an excessive drinker, what comes up for you as you hear this information? Maybe you might have memories. For instance, you know, incidents that happened, arguments, disappointments, concerns that maybe you haven't even expressed, or maybe that you have. Just tune in to your feelings. You can start with the basic four: mad, bad, sad, glad. Or variations like irritated, powerless, hopeless. Or perhaps you feel relieved to be facing this. That's possible. Before I forget, you're listening to Habits Into Health, and we are exploring holistic and experiential ways to turn around habits of all kinds that get in the way of a fulfilling life. In this episode, we're talking about the effect of alcohol on women. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you can discover more at habitsintohealth.com. As you consider your own experience with alcohol, either as a drinker or as someone who's around drinkers or both, I'm curious if you recognize something in yourself. Something that I've heard from many of the people I've worked with over the years, especially women. Sometimes it's a simple statement like, "I'm depressed and I wish this would go away." Often, as I'm sitting with someone in my office and she's talking about how hard it is to get up in the morning, or the fights that happen with her boyfriend or husband, or a coworker, family member, I can really feel her sense of hopelessness. But I also feel my own hopefulness for her, because I know it's possible to turn it around. So often, as we talk, it will go something like this. She might describe a typical evening, maybe after work, either by herself or with a partner or friends. And in the backdrop, she's talking about nursing 3 or 4 glasses of wine. I recognize it. Yeah, she's aware of how out of control life seems right now. And maybe she's considering the possibility of a connection between that life and her drinking. But maybe not. This is not something any of us grows up wanting to live. We dream of bigger things for ourselves, and having a drinking problem isn't part of that dream. Even if you're like the person who does know that alcohol is a problem, especially with social engagements during work or after work or lunch, in a restaurant with a bar, and maybe you tried to cut back or thought about it, but somehow it just hasn't happened yet. Or somehow whatever you've done doesn't work. You know, I just wonder, does any of this sound familiar to you? The best I can do in a podcast is lead you in a direction to your own solution. Because the journey is yours, and it's a very personal journey. I can assure you, though, from the bright smiles I also see in my office every week, that it's possible to turn this around. Paradoxically, even though this is your journey, going it alone doesn't work very well for so many people. And yet almost everyone I've known tries to do it on her own. Alcohol's effects on the brain are such that the drinker doesn't perceive alcohol's effects on the brain. Think of those reports you see on shows like Dateline or 60 Minutes. They do them from time to time. You know, they give people a drink, even just a small drink, and send the person around a parking lot of cones, those orange cones. And inevitably, the drivers assume they have normal reflexes, but it turns out they don't. That's because alcohol affects the human brain, whether you're an alcoholic or not. One of the most effective ways to deal with the fact that alcohol makes it harder to see its impact is getting support from others. And that's why so many people who want to change their unhealthy relationship to alcohol start hanging out with other people who have similar goals to change their own behavior. That's how Women in Sobriety got started. Same is true for Alcoholics Anonymous, Rational Recovery, or New Wine Church Groups, many other types of ways that people come together to support each other. And of course, there's a paradox. Like I've said, no one wants to have this problem, so there's embarrassment, shame, or guilt, and a tendency to isolate. I'm not saying that you can't deal with this successfully on your own, but I can say that all my experience tells me, and all the collective experience of the other professionals I've known who support people around this issue agrees, that magic happens for people who gather with others who are dealing with a similar puzzle in their lives. Right now, in a way, you are joining with all the others who are listening to this podcast, hearing these same words. You're already a part of a community in a kind of way, even though you don't know each other. And the internet has created new ways for people to come together, crossing boundaries of geography, so you don't have to be alone. Even if you live in a very small town and you want to learn more first because you're nervous about what people will think, you can find out that information now on your own, in private. If you're homebound because of an illness or a disability, you can participate in online meetings with other people. If you want to find out some resources, go to habitsintohealth.com. This is a website that I've created to support you when a habit has gotten the better of you and you want to turn that around. I'm adding more information and resources every week. This episode has been about a tough topic, so before we end, I want to take a few moments to support you in gathering yourself as you step back into the other activities in your day. You can start just by taking a long, deep breath. If you can, and it helps, Place a hand or both hands on your belly and breathe into your hands. Feel the movement of your breath as your hands rise and fall. Or notice anywhere else that moves in you as you breathe. It could be the back of the chair you're sitting in, or it could be the feeling of air moving in and out of your nose. Just take another deep breath. And know that whatever habits you're dealing with, whether it's about alcohol or not, there are pathways to more satisfaction, even if you don't know exactly how you're going to get there. In other shows, I'll be bringing more of this perspective and sharing ways to support you. I want to help you create a plan that works for you in creating your change of habit. And in each podcast, you'll get an opportunity to practice. We're all in this together, like I say, so bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.